Here we are, y'all. How are everybody doing? I'm glad everybody's doing great. Real quickly, man, you know what? I think my two favorite people this year is Tia Kemp and Jaguar Wright. Boy, I tell you, Tia Kemp, obviously, wild, crazy, exciting, fun to watch, fun to listen to, very entertaining. Jaguar Wright, on the flip side, she is like the documentary of so much. Very serious, very dedicated, very passionate about certain issues. What I want to talk about is a lot what Jaguar Wright has been touching on lately about the music industry and where the music industry is going, what it's become as of today. And, you know, I did watch her on a podcast and stuff. And, you know, I believe it was called the bigger Picture. She spoke on a lot of issues regarding artists that ended up, you know, being deceased and lined up based on the fact that a lot of the, I guess the energy just put into the music, it drives people to do things that they shouldn't do. And a lot of artists are not able to obtain deals when they are talking conscious music for the most part. We look back on a lot of the artists who has lost their lives due to the like a lot of the dangerous things, you know, that comes from their music and stuff. The conspiracy theories and stuff like that. I don't even, you know, the alleged conspiracy theory, because according to, you know, Jaguar Wright, she is being forthcoming. And she is someone who's in the music industry, someone who has been around a lot of these entertainers. And we think back, and as we go and we think back about a lot of the artists that are not here today by music that was driven, you know, based off negativity and the energy. And the list goes on, you know, from Tupac to Biggie to XX to Tassian, Nipsey Hussle, Young Dolph. You know, it's just a slew of Pop Smoke, you know, Aaliyah, Left Eye. Like, all of these artists, you know, that were somehow, you know, killed, you know, oddly, weirdly, unjustifiable in a lot of situations. Some appeared to be accidents. Some appeared to were, you know, premeditated situations. But is the music industry being controlled? Is it trying? Is there's obviously elites in the music industry that are doing and pulling strings to allow people to be taken out. I like hip hop. I've always, you know, been a lover of the hip hop, you know, music and stuff like that, the genre. However, you know, with the battle rap and everything back in the day, and it never really went no farther than just battle rap. You know what I mean? And I think like now it's just so tainted with so much evilness. And what's the purpose? Obviously, only in, you know, Jaguar Wright's mind that, you know, there are a few select individuals who are allegedly trying to dominate and take over the music industry, obviously, for their own particular gain. Now, I just feel like it's crazy because, you know, when an artist is like put on a back burner, you know, who is speaking things that, you know, we all should hear to allegedly better our lives, and then people write lyrics and stuff and end up, you know, dying based off those same lyrics that they put out. And now, you know, obviously those individuals are become part of another song. And it's so crazy because I spoke on this a while ago about the industry being kind of you know, evil, and then you have people that are invested into the prison systems as well. The same record companies who sign these artists to, you know, promote negativity and the negative vibes and negative energy and, you know, just this opposition type of music, you know, those same labels are invested into private prisons. And we see the, you know, I think a lot of people are waking up. I think a lot of people understand what's going on. I think a lot of people are completely aware of what is going on with, you know, the entertainment music industry. I think today, just like, you know, a lot of these artists don't necessarily need these labels anymore. The internet has given them an outlet to do these things and make music and be able to be more so independent. There's a lot of people who would not even be successful today if they didn't have the access of the internet and streaming and different stuff like that. Because in the old days, you had to really, really, you know, grind and get out there and do shows and do all kinds of stuff. Today, you got artists that are doing virtual concerts and stuff, you know. And not only that, when you look at the fact that artists, they don't have to, the budget that was involved with these artists at the time, you had budgets where artists, they had to, you know, recoup the money that was put out, you know, for their budget before they actually start making money. You're paying a producer. You're paying for the studio rental or whatever, possibly an engineer. You're paying for marketing. You're paying for packaging. You're paying for, you know what I mean, distribution. You know, you're paying for artwork. You're paying for all these different things, and they could have signed you for a $2 million. It doesn't mean by the time you go through the budget, you don't actually make $2 million. That's, you know, the crazy part. And I think, and then advertisement, all kinds of stuff. It's like there's... It's a good thing, I think, right now, because I think it takes the control out of the hands of people, you know, who are looking to just, you know, use these artists in a lot of way. You eliminate the middleman opposed to, you know, having to have to recoup all this money. And then whatever your album sells after the money is recouped is what you obviously will end up with. And a lot of times when you cut out that budget, you know, sometimes that can be substantial. But, you know, I feel like, again, with a lot of the artists, my main thing is with a lot of the artists that are being, you know, murdered behind this, you know, the drill music and stuff. And again, a lot of this music sounds definitely good. You know, I like to hear a lot of it myself and stuff, but I'm at a different, you know, age bracket where I could differentiate, you know, an artist being an artist and making really good music opposed to someone who is younger and hypnotized by the music and feel like if they hear this music, they're you know, they'll want to go out and do something, you know, ridiculous. Or something very stupid, you know, by taking someone's life or something like that. So I think it can be poison to a lot of people who are not strong-minded. And it's all really nowadays start to sound the same to me. You know what I mean? It's just like a lot of it starts to sound the same. And I think we do need to get back to, you know, a lot of the love and the music and stuff versus the hate, because it's very self-destructive. And we're following a trend that a lot of us are not even aware of that we're even following, or either just don't care, you know, because they think that, you know, this is what's going to sell, whatever the case may be. So, I know that, like, I wasn't a real big fan of, you know, Will Smith music, however, but, you know, there are a lot of other artists out there, you know, who made good music, like, you know, the Run DMCs and stuff like that, and Kool Moe Dee back in the day, and, you know what I mean, when music was really, like, you know, really good. And again, today, a lot of it is you still have a lot of good music today, don't get me wrong. So I'm not, you know, by any means, you know, but it's just that, you know, that the music wasn't, like, focused on, like, really, you know, actually doing harm to other people. And I think that's the most important thing right now because, you know, and she, and what I want to say is, like, Jaguar Wright mentioned, like, Tory Lanez's situation not being, you know, valid as far as him being the actual person that was involved, you know, in the shooting. I can't say one way or another. These are definitely her claims, you know what I mean? You know, she has made a lot of claims, and we're obviously going to be looking forward to the Tupac case coming up, you know. And I, you know, from what she's saying, that there are a lot of people, and I'm not to say, you know, who is guilty or who is not guilty or whatever. However, you know, but she's stating that there's a lot of people that we're going to be surprised as to who is involved with the Tupac murder. And she did mention the individuals who had Tupac killed is the same individuals who had Biggie killed. Well, okay, a lot of people may actually, like, you know, already know that or already assume that. I'm not saying that. The one thing that I find interesting, though, about the Tupac murder is that his situation, if it didn't go like the way it went, like with Pac getting into it initially, you know, and then moments later end up dying, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't say for sure. There may be some things in between there that we may have missed and only the general public got at the time of Pac's death. However, you know, and that is interesting, you know, point that Jaguar Wright brought out was the fact that Pac could actually possibly been killed before, you know, he was actually shot in the car, allegedly, at the time. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is that I just want to know, like, where is all this, like, well, with Pac's death, like I said, his death with him not actually being into an altercation, you know, before his death, it would be easily suggest that his death was not any type of any way a conspiracy. However, there have been talks of individuals actually wanting him killed, you know, and that was a very dark time in hip hop because we all know Pac brought a lot of life and was one of the most charismatic artists, you know, of that time, and as well as Biggie. You know, and, you know, but again, with his death and stuff, you know, if that situation wouldn't occur as far as the fight, and then, you know, obviously someone moments later will have a motive to go and do something to you. And in my opinion, that would not look like or appear to be any type of setup or conspiracy. It was more like moments, you know, a passion as far as wanting to kill someone and do something to him because of the simple fact that, you know, those individuals, you know, that he was involved with moments later obviously would have had a, you know, a motive to do something to him right afterwards. So it's like, with that being said, like, how could anybody suggest that, you know, his murder was a conspiracy and someone conspired to kill him. Although a lot of people definitely believe, and I'm just speculating, a lot of people definitely believe that, you know, I think that maybe, you know, even though somebody wanted him killed and wanted him to, you know, die particularly, you know what I'm saying? I just thought maybe that situation, you know, it was almost like we got what we wanted, although that wasn't the plan, but it worked out. You know what I mean? That's the thing, and rest in peace, Tupac. We all the big Tupac fan. You know, how could you not like Pac? You know what I mean? But again, that would like literally, you know, kill the whole theory, even if somebody actually paid to have Pac killed at that time. You know, if it wasn't a alleged setup, you know, like that, unless there was some money that exchanged hands on the back end for those particular individuals who was liable for killing him. Now, we know that, you know, what is it? The Keefe D individual was in a car at the time. And maybe even though, you know, like, you just get in a fight with Tupac, Keefe D's nephew. Even though you did get in a fight with Tupac, there could have still possibly been a motive to do it. You know what I mean? Even though someone conspired to kill Tupac, and there was, you know, a plan to kill Tupac, you know, the fact that he got into a prior, you know, kind of almost kills that theory. However, there still could have been a plot to do it by the same individuals. And obviously it's been said that Keefe D is one of the individuals who plotted to kill him. It's like, okay, we planned on killing you anyway. However, you know, we just so happened you did something. We end up getting into it. So now we have even more of an incentive to follow through on our plan to do it, because it could have been a situation where they was going to do it anyway. So, you know, but I'm just saying one could argue because of the fight, you know, there was a motive to actually do it, which would kind of kill the conspiracy. So it would just have to be more evidence, I feel, in order to actually, you know, to secure a situation like that. But with Biggie's situation appeared definitely, you know, like more like a setup. That appeared to be more of a setup, the way obviously Biggie was killed. And Gene Deal, he speaks a lot on the scenario and his opinion as to, you know, how Biggie death was a conspiracy. And, you know, and it's crazy. And that when I speak about this, it's just like, you know, those were very dark moments in hip hop. And now it's like all, you know, over 25 some years later, here we are, you know, today, you know, actually like, you know, still dealing with, you know, what they say is the ripple effect of artists is dying over beefs. Artists is getting murdered over beefs. And Jaden Youngin was also another one. And, you know, I could just go on and on, because it's like, you know, it just, you know, they keep popping up in my mind. PNB Rock, you know, just that wasn't necessarily beef, but I think it was kind of like a situation, you know, the same type of toxic stuff that are in music. We talk about, you know, gang violence, robbery and stuff like that, and just, you know, doing the things the unthinkable and stuff like that. I think it's the same type of toxic, you know, stuff that ultimately took him out as well. Now, you got so much, you know, invested in the prisons and you still got artists dying. Like, the elites care so much about the, you know, it's almost like a form of genocide when we glamorized a lot of this music and stuff and nonsense and the Lucifer and all of this. And I won't, you know, mention as far as going into the names of all the artists that are like bowing down to this Lucifer situation and stuff like that. But it's obviously real. You know, it can be hypnotizing when we hear certain beats that come on and the music just grab us, and then all of a sudden we get caught up in the lyrics. And as Michael Jackson said, you know, music is like a mantra. You know what I mean? If you keep repeating the same thing over and over, you know what I mean? It becomes part of you. You know, when we speak about verses and choruses, you know, and there's and you keep saying that same thing over, it we become, you know, that's what we become. We start saying that same thing over. And rest in peace, Michael Jackson, actually one of the greatest artists of all time, in my opinion, who made timeless music, who's made timeless music. And like Michael Jackson, speaking of like artists like Prince, they were very smart. They understood, like, you know, this industry. You know, with both of them have been in the music industry for so long, they understood that what it meant to have and own your own catalog, what it meant to be underpaid. And Michael Jackson and Prince were two people who are very outspoken about independence in the music industry and owning, you know, the rights to all of, you know, your music and stuff. They was very vocal about that, you know, and I think that it's like they tried to teach people that you can do it, you know, without having to give up so much of your, you know, of you in order to get it done. And they fought for a lot of things. I think towards the end, you know, who's to say what actually happened with Michael Jackson and Prince? You know, there's a lot of conspiracy out there as to, you know, what occurred with their deaths. You know, he got Pimp C and all of this stuff. And also, you know, another legend who was, you know, outspoken about a lot of different things. And it's just, it's crazy, man, because you see a lot of artists, they'll sell their soul, man, just to be in the music industry, just to achieve, just to get to the next level in the industry. A lot of them would do certain things that, you know, they probably wouldn't normally do if it wasn't for, you know, what had been laid on the table for them. You know, it's like, is it worth it? You know, it's not worth it because you got to live with the constant trauma. And I imagine that these situations affect you, or affect these artists mentally and stuff. A lot of them, you know, probably deal with all kinds of mental issues, mental, emotional trauma after the fact. And never really get over, you know, their trauma. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, a lot of time money don't actually bring you all the happiness that, you know, you thought it would. Sometimes when you, you know, you go out on a limb and do things that you probably, you know, your parents would be against and stuff, you know, it doesn't always bring you happiness. So where is this music industry going? You know, what has happened to the music business? You know, it's like, you know, the darkness that's over the music industry. What is going on? Is it even exciting? Is it fun to be just a musician, make good music? Where it's like, you know, all your fans that really matter now is so much more like, you know, people are working under a tremendous amount of pressure. And not really enjoying the art form like they should. Now, what another thing is that Jaguar Wright, again, she mentioned, is that you got a lot of women who are, you know, put in position to, like, you know, take down and line up men in the music industry. These women become planted seeds in order to accomplish a mission in an artist's career. They're put there in place to destroy an artist. I mean, it's like if you make it to the industry, I think it's like almost like you got to really rock with the girl you was with beforehand, because it's like, you know, somebody that you know. You know, it's not even fun anymore to actually, I would suggest that, or even think with all, I would think it would be just a lot of pressure, you even actually being an artist today. And then, you know, but at the same time, though, knowing and understanding your business and exercising your right, signing the deal, fast money, the money that you could get up in advance is not always the best possible option. You sit back, you be patient, you can earn your money and not have to owe anybody or not be in debt to anybody and stuff, because I just feel like independent is the way to go. When I say independent, I mean solely responsible for putting out your own music. You know, we have these platforms now that artists can do that. And I think that now it's more or less like the labels have to cater to the artists now, instead of the artists have to cater to the, you know, doing whatever the label wants them to do at this point. You have that negotiating power, you know, especially if you're doing good numbers and stuff on the, you know, on your streaming and stuff. So, and then, you know, they definitely have the ability to blackball you. You know, artists get blackballed too in a lot of ways when they don't agree with something publicly. Every artist is not going to agree. Some artists feel, you know, compelled to speak on certain things that they may not, you know, adopt it or incorporate it in their life or in their quality of life or how they do things. And I get it. It's probably best not to speak on a lot of things because you'll get criticized, particularly when you're an artist. So, you know, you just kind of got to, you know, keep up, because, you know, you have all different kinds of people that are in this industry. And some of them can actually just make a phone call, depending on who you offended, and doing your career's, you know, potentially over after that. So I just think that just make your music and do it independently. Release your own music. You know, again, you don't need these big record companies anymore. Those are the things that are past nowadays, I feel. And I know a lot of people don't, you know, maybe these executives, that's probably their worst nightmare, is nowadays the artists and stuff they can do and earn and actually have received their money, you know, direct source by what they actually put out without having to deal with the headache and being binded to a record company. Because even after you've, you know, done recoup this budget for this company that they giving you money for, even after you recoup this budget, you know, you still got to sell records. Otherwise, you know, depending on the clause in your contract, you may get you may owe the record company back, or at least you won't be able to make another album. So I think that, you know, obviously that would be the best case scenario for you, other than you have to be more indebted to the company. But hey, you know, you gave it a try, whatever, and there's no boundaries when you can be, just do it yourself without having to, you know, worry about, you know, signing to a label and stuff, and having all this money that needs to be recouped that could be possibly going in your pocket instead. And I think that Young Dolph was, you know, spoke on that quite a bit. You know, I just, you know, own your rights to your own music, you know. Own the rights to your own music. Don't allow, you know, sometimes it's not worth signing. Sometimes you might be more valuable, you know, doing it on your own, because somebody can see the value in you and have you sign over just about any and everything to one of possibly your biggest album or your biggest mixtape or your biggest single, you know, and then you just done signed over so much at that particular time initially that, you know, they're not going to want to bag out of it because it's making them more money. But, you know, that's where the patience come in. So I just want to let you guys know, you know, what's going on with this industry, how y'all feel about where the music industry is going today. Do you feel that, you know, artists are being targeted, you know, wrongfully just because they, you know, they're in need of earning this money for a label, you know, for a you know, a record deal, you know, and because of their situation. And then before you know it, they become the poster boy, a poster girl for the same type of destruction that the industry pushes and promote and pay artists to come in and make songs about. So, you know, just wake up, you know what I'm saying? This trial is supposed to be coming up pretty soon, and I'm looking forward to seeing more about this trial. From the predictions, it's supposed to be, you know, bigger than the O.J. Simpson case. That'll be interesting to see, because it'll be interesting to see all the key players involved in this, in the murder of Tupac, and how this will play out after all these years. You know what I'm saying? Afeni is obviously gone. Tupac's gone. You know, I believe it's his sister. He may have left or whatnot, but after all these years, you know, we'll know more about what actually took place against Tupac Shakur that night in Las Vegas after the Mike Tyson fight. So, and Biggie, again, we'll find out more about that as well. If they're linked, we'll find out more about the Biggie case. We'll find out how Biggie life actually, you know, ended, you know, who is responsible for ending Biggie's life. You know, all, you know, these are definitely questions everybody want to know, because there's been, like, you know, people already have somewhat of an idea about Pac, but people don't have an actual idea about the actual shooter of Biggie. But the thing about it is that no one knows who actually really wanted either one of them dead for sure. Yes, there's been alleged talks of possibly possibly Puffy, possibly Jay-Z. There's been talks of that, but we don't know that. We're not sure that. We don't know what facts they may actually have to, you know, to validate that story, you know, or rumor, allegedly, you know what I'm saying? There's no nothing to validate that. You know what I'm saying? So, but again, it would be interesting to know who is possibly behind the death of Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls. And we know, again, that the music that everything is driven by has taken a lot of artists out. You know what I mean? It's taken a lot of artists that should be here today making excellent and making great music and should be with us today. Let me know what y'all thoughts is on this, man. I appreciate y'all. It's A1. You know, again, I preach diversity, you know, however, but I love my people. And when it comes to topics like this, we got to do better because it's self-destructive, particularly with topics like this, because we're doing a lot of self-destructive damage. And I know you have issues going on in other genres and stuff like that. However, you know, we thrive on, you know, putting the energy out there that is so self-destructive. That is so self-destructive. You know, and we do this on a regular outside of music where we can be very self-destructive to one another. So situations like this hit a little bit more personal, particularly when we talk about, you know, the rap music scene and stuff like that, and how a lot of rappers and artists are just frivolously murdered. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of cases, they talk about sacrifices, artists being sacrificed to, you know, lined up, you know what I'm saying, to be murdered. And that is crazy, you know what I'm saying? And, like, women are actually, you know, put in positions to actually set these men up is crazy. So you got to be very, very careful about, you know, a person that's interested in you, or all of a sudden in your circle, you have to question everything as to why this person is here. You know, you better off meeting someone somewhere else outside than dealing with someone who was sent to you, because that right there, that's a blind situation and stuff, and you don't really know what that person's motive is. And when they crept into your life and stuff, a lot of times when you meet somebody, it's better they not know anything about you or anything, you know, for the most part. But again, everybody be safe. This is A1. I just want to let y'all know, speak on this issue a little bit about the music industry and what can we do to better things as you know, is, you know, podcasters, you know, just regular fans, artists is being knowledgeable about what they got to deal with and stuff, and just being on top of their game and stand firm in what you believe in. Don't fall for the okie doke. All right, peace out, everybody. Have a great evening. I'm getting sleepy. I need to go to sleep. love y'all. It's A1. Peace out.